everyone. Welcome back to another episode of DadCast. We are live on the Bullhorn app. Thank you to our sponsors, Great Notion Brewing, and the local sponsors right here in Southern Oregon, KMVU, Fox 26. I am JP. He is Nick. How are you, Nick?
I'm awesome. I'm so good.
Yeah, buddy. Today on the show, man, I'm excited for this guy. He is Jack Asbury, otherwise known as the Batman of Spring Hill. How are you, Jack, man? Welcome to DadCast.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. It's been great.
Good, man. We're stoked to have you on. I cannot wait to hear some of these stories that you are going to impart on us. I am kind of disappointed, though, in the fact that you're not dressed up right now. I
thought about it. I really did.
Part of me expected it. Well, if you're not aware, man, DadCast, we're all about talking our path and a journey and adventure and being dads and everything in between. This should be a fun little episode. We are live, as I mentioned, on the Bullhorn app. So anyone listening and or watching, this is fully interactive, you guys. So if you have a question for Jack or if you have a question for myself or Nick, feel like you want to chat, heck, do you want to join the conversation? Just click that call in button and we'll pop you in. And as long as you behave yourself, we'll have a good time. All right. So anywho, the very, very first question for you, Jack, as is a rite of passage on DadCast, is, are you a dad?
In fact, I am. I have four.
Woo.
I have with my fiance, her, my two step boys, and then my two daughters.
Right on. And what are their ages and names?
So my oldest is Trinity. She's 11. I have Aubrey. She's going to be 9 in September. Landon is 6. And then our little one, we call him Bub, and he will be 3 in the end of this month.
All right. And what's the end of this month? My birthday. My little girl's birthday is May 31st. She's going to be 9.
I believe it's the 23rd. I'm going to be in so much trouble.
Sorry. Striking that from the record.
Yeah. I don't remember the dates either, so it's all good.
Yeah, well,
I know we're celebrating it on the 21st. I know that.
Nick, when you have 237 kids, it's hard to keep those birth dates in check, dude.
It is. It's rough, man.
So, Jack, tell us a little bit about yourself, man. Before we get into the Batman of Spring Hill, who is the man behind the mask?
So I am a EMT, first responder. I've been doing it since 2008. Like I said before, I'm a father of four now. And that's really about it. That's as interesting as my life gets. I still currently do that. Actually, I'm on shift tomorrow. And that is it. Mostly my life is work, kids, and the Batman.
Yeah, it sounds pretty familiar, except minus the Batman part for me. I'm as you can see right there, mine's the Iron Man, you know.
I gotcha.
That's the my Iron Man glove that I got at Disneyland.
Mine is Ninja Turtles.
I've seen all the Ninja Turtles. I have a whole bunch of stuff in my office if you can't tell.
I'm trying to get prepared for when my little guy's big enough to play with cool toys.
Now, being an EMT, man, I've got a couple friends, actually dated a girl back in the day, too, who was an EMT. You kind of brushed that off as not very interesting, but we know better, man. That is quite possibly one of the most stressful jobs there is. And I can only imagine some of the things you see on a day-to-day basis. How do you compartmentalize that? How do you shut that off? I mean, there's a bad day. You've seen some bad things and you go home to the family. How do you internalize that?
A long time ago when I first started, I had a partner who had been doing it for 20, 30 years. He was awesome. He taught me a lot. And my first really bad call, my first pediatric call, the one thing he told me, he's like, look, this is going to suck, but you need to realize this is not your kid. For some reason that helped. As you know, as gritty as it sounds, that helped. It's still hard to see. It's still very hard to see. But after a while, as bad as it sounds, you kind of get numb to it.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I've been doing it for 14 years. I've seen just about everything, unfortunately. I'm kind of like just every other guy, you know. As soon as I get off the truck, I decompress for like 5 minutes if I have to in the car, and then I go home. When I go home, I normally don't talk to the family about it, only because My fiance, she tries. She wants to understand it, but the things I see may affect her if I tell her the story and what's going on.
Right.
So really, it's talking to my other friends who are in the field. 90% of my friends are either fire, EMS, or police. So I'll talk to them. And then just like every other guy, I'll go to the gym, you know, my own time, just put my headset on and do that. And then actually the Batman doing that has helped a lot too, because it gives me a chance to get out of actually who I am. You know, I'm not me for that hour and a half or whatnot. You know, I'm the Batman. So that kind of makes everything go away for a little bit. So that really helps as well.
All right. Is that a Ghostbuster pack behind you?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, it is. I actually built that one.
I'm what is it? Is it? I mean, they're going to sound really stupid or really spot on. So I'm glad I went with the latter.
Yep. No, that's my proton pack. And funny story about that is my youngest bub, it was his first Halloween 2 years ago. And we're the type where we're very good at co-parenting. So the dad came with us and whatnot, but I'm very competitive and they wanted to be Ghostbusters. I'm like, all right, yeah, I'll do that. But so he just went with the, you know, the Spirit Halloween version. I went and built the pack and got the real jumpsuit and everything. So
you're like my friend, Robbie. Display that. He goes nuts on Halloween. Robbie, if you're watching, ever check this episode out, you got some competition, man. 1 year he built a complete Iron Man suit out of metal. Nice. 1 year keep in mind, he's like Nick, he's like 5'2". He was Thanos and he built stilts along with the feet. So he did a full Thanos outfit one time. He was Groot. I mean, he's done it all. And it's always really, really amazing, man. I love to see it. See, you're like a big fat nerd in disguise, man. That's what we're all about here.
Pretty much. Yeah. That's literally all I am.
I mean, I got to start to move my head and you can see a little bit of the nerd coming out.
I seen the belt. I seen the lightsaber. Yeah, I got two lightsabers as well. Yeah.
Do your kids, are they passionate about your passions?
No.
Oh.
So my middle one, Aubrey, she, if any of the kids are going to be like me, it's going to be her. My taste of music. She loves going to Comic Cons, all of that. My oldest, she's kind of fed up with it. She's like, whatever. The best part is the little one, anytime he sees a Batman action figure, anything Batman, he says, that's Dada. So that's pretty cool. I like seeing that. And then my oldest boy, Landon, he's a Spider-Man fan, so he could not really care less about it.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm working on it. I'm trying.
Well, that's all right, man. That was right. Nick, pay attention.
I'm paying attention. I'm sorry. I'm dealing with my kid's sick again.
So, little guy?
Yeah.
Well, is he home?
No, he's with grandma and grandpa.
Oh, okay. So I see you keep daycare today. I see you keep looking down at your phone, man, and that's I'm just going to call you every single time.
I know. Sorry.
It's all right. Since you're a kid, I'm going to let that one slide. I want to. Okay. Oh, so kids not into the passion. That's terrible. My boy loves Spider-Man. So, by the way, I have a 17-year-old daughter, an 11-year-old son, and an almost 9-year-old daughter. My son, he's pretty right there with me on the things that I like. And I can't tell sometimes if he's doing it just to make dad happy or if he really, really digs it. Currently, he has a very big kick and is super passionate about Legos. This is a sixth grader. Now, I always thought, Legos, isn't that skew a little bit younger? But he came out with me yesterday. He needed help on a project he was building. And it turns out, even a 47-year-old man needs to go back and look at the instructions when it comes to these Legos these days. My God.
Giant books and hundreds and thousands of pieces.
It's crazy. Right. And now I need to buy an $800 Millennium Falcon. Just saying.
I've seen that. Yeah, I hope Liam never gets into Legos. I don't have the patience
for it. No, but we're big into Star Wars.
30 seconds. I'm like, I'm over it. This is stupid.
We went to Disneyland a few months back. And of course, a couple years ago, I went and made a lightsaber, which is one of those back there. And I came back with it. And my son's like, man, Dad, that is so cool. I want to make one. Next time you go, we go. Can I make one? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. So we went. We both made another set of lightsabers. So now there's three of them back there. And then I bought a couple of the, the legacy ones they had there. And the day that I left, they dropped the Cal Kestis from the video game lightsaber.
Yeah.
And I got a couple of those. And I need to hang them up. But I can't turn them on.
Did you have to wait months for that?
No. See, what happened was, it's a good story. We were there Monday through Thursday. It was spring break. And Thursday morning, our last day at Disneyland, I opened up my phone, having my morning coffee, and I read an article that Disneyland is dropping at all Galaxy's Edge the Cal Kestis hilt lightsaber from the video game. I was like, that sucks. I'm not going to be here tomorrow. And the only way you can buy these things is, you know, in Galaxy's Edge at the park.
Right.
So I racked my brain on how the hell am I going to get into this park tomorrow? Just go in, buy it, and get the hell out. Only way that's why I end up buying season tickets. So now I've got a year pass to Disneyland. And anyway, I got myself in, woke up at like 5 o'clock in the morning, waited at the first gate. I was first in line. It got through the gate farther in the park. And at 7:30, they stop you. And at 8 o'clock, they unleash you to the old park. Now, I'm not the most in shape guy in the world these days. So number one ended up being 7 in line once we actually got to the store, but that went super duper quick. I bought 2, and on my way out, I don't know if you've ever been to Disneyland, but the line went out of Galaxy's Edge into the park and all the way to Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. I would say, I would venture to say a good quarter mile. Yeah. That
so have you, is this Disneyland like California, or did you come down to Florida to Disney
it was
World?
California's Disneyland.
Oh, okay.
But I see that the Galaxy's Edge is essentially set up the same way.
Okay.
But yeah, so I got them and we're happy. And now I'm sitting on a bunch of lightsabers that I have yet to hang up. And I want to hang them up and turn them on during these podcasts because it's really cool lighting, but they're ridiculously loud.
Oh, cool.
So there's no way for me to do that. Anywho, there you go. So yeah. Tell us, Jack, enough about my lightsabers, right, Nick? How did the Batman of Spring Hill come to be?
So it's kind of, I don't know if you've seen the comment. I kind of have the same story as Nick. My oldest was born premature at 27 weeks, and she was born in 2011. And then we were in the NICU for 3 months. At that time, we can't do anything. I'm sure, Nick, you know, you can't touch them when they're first born. You can't do anything. The only thing we were able to do is just put our hand on her back. That was it for at least a good month. It was a month before I could hold her. In that time, thankfully, I haven't been back to a NICU like that, but it was a big circle just full of incubators with other preemies. And we're just sitting there with other parents and it's just silent. And it sucked to me because, one, I was pretty young. I was 23 having this, you know, this baby born that they told us, we don't know how she's going to be. We don't even know if she's going to make it out. And I was always taught by my dad that it's a parent's job to protect their child and to help them as much as possible. But in that situation, there's literally nothing you can do and that you are putting your child's life in somebody else's hands. So I was just thinking about it and looking at all the other parents and we all had the same face. It was just, you know, we were just sitting there just waiting for something, even though we knew it was going to take time. So I had this idea to do this is get these suits, go to hospitals. And if I can make the child forget that they're sick and smile and laugh, the parents will also see that and that'll bring them joy. So it works for both, not just, you know, for the kid. So that's why I started doing that. And then from there on out, it just started growing and growing. I don't know if you guys look, but my first bat suit was horrendous looking.
Yes.
So, one of the things I had an Iron Man suit at one point, and the kid, you know, basically called me out saying, you know, that's not an Iron Man suit and whatnot. So I learned that I have to get as close to movie quality and have all the gadgets and everything just to bring that real experience, because it's going to be one of those that they don't ever forget. Because to this day, I remember when I was a kid, my parents took me to Six Flags in New Jersey and they had a Batman show and then meeting that Batman, I still remember it to this day. So that's the whole goal behind the Batman and what I want to do with it. Eventually I'd like to be able to, you know, travel and go see as many kids, not just in Florida. But that's really how it got started, just through personal experience. Both of my daughters had some kind of issue. Aubrey, like I said, Trinity was born very prematurely, which she's 11 now. She's perfect. She's the smartest kid I've ever met. She's teaching herself piano right now. And then my youngest, Aubrey, she had a rare blood disorder that she wouldn't be able to clot. So we started noticing bruises all over her body. and we don't know what was going on. And they said basically her body's attacking her clotting ability. So we were in the hospital with her, and you know, we had to cancel birthdays for her. We had to be super careful with her because she would get bruising on her feet just from walking. So, you know, being in that situation, I understand to some points what parents are going through. Now I go see kids that are, you know, that are dying. And I've, you know, see, you know, recently the last time we had this scheduled, we had to push it back. I was actually on my way to Miami to go see a child who was burned about 80% of his body. So like I can understand it. I haven't been there exactly, but I know what they're going through a little bit. So it's nice to have that understanding with the parent as well, especially being in the medical field. So when they're talking to me, I know, okay, yeah, I understand where this is going as well.
You're a true superhero, man. No joke.
I appreciate
you
it.
You don't even need to put that suit on. That suit behind you, is that your most recent version?
No. So this one, yeah, back on the camera. So this, I actually am currently building a mobile bat cave so I can take it to events and everything. This is just going to be a display in there.
Right.
The cave wall was for when COVID started because we couldn't go to hospitals. So I built the cave wall and I did video chats with kids. So I looked like I was in the bat cave. So this is just going to be a display in the mobile bat cave when I bring that around.
What? Yeah, totally, man. I got to have one. What do you portray any of the particular movie versions of Batman or comic versions in your suit?
So the suit I have is actually from one of the video games.
Okay.
It's just a different color. The thing with it is, though, is I actually have like a white mesh on my eyes, so I don't have to put makeup on. And I'm kind of tall. I'm about like 6 foot, but with the boots, I'm like 6'1". So when I have a little kid, I'm kind of intimidating. So I don't do like the Batman voice or anything like that. And but it's a legit rubber suit. It just goes over my clothes and everything like that. It's heavy. I live in Florida, so it's really hot, which sucks. I picked the wrong superhero to do.
The only alternative is Aquaman, and you don't want to be Aquaman.
Yeah, I don't want to. Nobody wants to be
Aquaman. Jason Momoa doesn't want to be Aquaman, man. Yeah. Where in Florida do you live?
I'm about 45 minutes north of Tampa.
Okay, so you're way up there. Me and my lady, we try to get out to Florida at least once a year. It's kind of my destination vacation spot. Usually we go about February because in Oregon here, it's still cold as all hell and it's not in Florida, but we go to southeast Florida for fish tacos. I usually hang out in the Hollywood area and then go down to the Keys for a little bit. I love me some Florida, man, but yeah, I get it with that heat. Whew.
Yeah, no, I've been here, born and raised in Spring Hill, and I get out of here every chance I get. I can't stand it. So, my dad was the same way. He was born in Land O'Lakes, which is a little bit further. And once my sister turned 18, he was gone, moved to the mountains. He's like, you don't know where I'm at. And I don't blame him. Whenever we go up there, it's beautiful up there.
Nice. Do you freelance any Comic Cons ever?
Sometimes I'll go. I have to go both days though, because my Aubrey wants to go. Every time she wants to go, so I can't dress with them because I just get bombarded by people wanting to take pictures, and I can't focus on them.
Right,
make sure they're okay. So I go both days, but I do go. I do go.
Mm-hmm. One day you suited up, one day you don't. Type deal.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff, man. All right, let's take you back. I mean, one of the standard questions that we always ask here on Dadcast. In fact, I'm going to quiz Nick. It's a two-parter. Nick, what question am I about to ask, and you need to ask it?
Okay. So go back to when your first child was born, and but like 9 months prior to that, when you found out about your child's mom being pregnant.
Child mom. Is that how you're going to do it? Tell us about women who have baby inside.
Tell us about your baby mama. The birth
giver. What are you saying, man? Is what were the emotions going through your head the day, that morning, or that night, whatever it may have been, when you were notified, you were let known that you were going to be an actual blood father for the first time?
It was I was excited for it. I really was, because even though I was, you know, 22, 23, I was already set with my career. So I was good. I was able to provide, you know, I was ready. The way we found out is my child's mother was in the hospital because she was sick, and they did a urine test. They're like, hey, congratulations, you're pregnant, by the way. So like, oh, okay, cool, great. So that's where, you know, we were both excited and we were ready for it. You know, we had our own place. We were stable. You know, we were in a good spot. So I got lucky. I really did. So I was very excited to have my first kid. Absolutely.
Yeah, buddy. Were you in the room when he or she was born?
I barely made it. I was actually on shift and, you know, she called. She said, hey, I'm having this baby right now. Get here. So I flew to the hospital. But the problem was, is like I said, she was so early.
Yeah.
So they're like, you know, if you have a normal birth, that could damage her. So we have to do an emergency C-section. So luckily I was there and they let me in with that. So I got there. I mean, they probably brought her back maybe 2-3 minutes after I got there. So luckily, yeah, I was there. I've been there for both of mine.
Nice. All right. So 4 kids in. Mm-hmm. Are there any more in the future, or is that it? No.
I say no. The fiance, she wants one more, but I tell her, you know.
Sounds familiar, Nick.
Yeah. Six is a good round number. You know, we have, it's a, you know, even number. We don't need to mess that up anymore. And plus our youngest is just about out of diapers. So I'm like, we need to be done. We're good.
I was like, I was all done. I was snipped. I was done. And I got remarried and my wife didn't have any kids. And she's like, I really want a baby. So I got unfixed and we went through the whole process, ended up doing IVF. And then the little guy was born and right at the beginning of COVID. So it was like the whole NICU experience was rough because it was basically neither one of us were going to be allowed to go. And then we fought for it. And my wife was allowed to stay with him. And I got to see him like once a week for about 45 minutes to an hour. And then I was, about, I think, 7 or 8 weeks. And then they finally got a little more lenient. I can go see him after work every day for 45 minutes to an hour. But it was mask up, gloves.
It was gowned, everything. Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird. It was like, man. So finally, you know, when he got home, he didn't feel like he was mine. So it was really just kind of a rough bonding experience with him. He was definitely a mama's boy up until about 3 months ago. And then now he's like a total daddy's boy. He's like my best little buddy. So,
yeah.
So it's been really a totally different experience from my other kids. My other kids, you know, they're born, they're good. We got, you know, went home with them. And so this was definitely a weird thing and we're doing it again. We're doing
it. Oh, okay. Congratulations.
So yeah, I'm a glutton for punishment.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Speechless. Yeah,
I was the same way with ours. It was really hard for us, you know, because I still had to work and, you know, she was down there with the baby nonstop. So it's funny because recently I'll see on Facebook memories, you know, me putting on there, you know, work day 7 out of 7, you know, working for a straight week. And then the hospital, the closest NICU that she needed was about an hour and a half away each way. So that was hard making that, you know, traveling back and forth for me still having to work. It was difficult for the time. I can't imagine it'd be, you know, COVID difficult, you know, not being able to see him at all, but it still sucked.
Yeah. But being in Florida, COVID wasn't quite as bad.
Yeah.
Governor DeSantis. All right.
We had Daddy DeSantis. On us.
Yeah. I just read he was passing like $100 million piece of legislature in Florida that impacted fathers and like goes directly to like, I guess, single fathers or putting emphasis on the importance of the role of fatherhood and putting all this money towards programs to help. And I was nice. Like, man, that is bad ass. So I reached out. And I sent the office of DeSantis's, Governor DeSantis's email address and said, hey man, we'd love to have him on Dadcast, et cetera, et cetera. And I got one of his lackeys responded with a typical thing. Oh, well, we're very thankful for your interest in et cetera, et cetera. But he doesn't do appearances, this and that. If you'd like to see him, he'll be at this certain place and blah, 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 blah. I was like, no. I'm like, I don't know who you are, but just if you can, just read to him what I wrote to you. And then I want to hear a no from his mouth.
From him.
Yeah. Because I believe in my heart, if he sees this platform and what we're about, that he'd be like, I can free up a half an hour sometime in the next 2 months. But
I got told politely by Ben Affleck's group that I was not rich enough to talk to him, or I couldn't afford it.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So I'm like, all right, well, that one stung.
Have we hit up Ben Affleck, Nick?
No, and I don't really have any intention of hitting up Ben Affleck.
was that prior to hearing this, or?
No, just from things that I've heard about him from other people, about how he parents.
Yeah, I've heard. He isn't the nicest guy, but I had to try. Yeah.
Wow. Well, hey, first of all, Ben, if this ever reaches you, I've heard none of these things. Okay. I have no opinion on the matter. I would like to judge for myself when talking to you face to face, if that has ever comes to being a reality. And how crazy would it be if 10 years from now, Nick, you know, Dadcast is globally known entity, and we're walking the same red carpet as Ben Affleck, and I can whip out the phone and be like, hey, Ben, check this out. Go back to the Batman of Spring Hill episode. Yeah. And hey,
he said you were a jerk. Yeah.
So that's me covering my ass in the future right there.
That's right.
Nick,
this
did you
me, not Gary.
Have you put together a fast five by any chance for Jack today? We don't have to do it. I'm just curious if you have.
I did.
Okay. Do you want to do it now?
Let's do part of it now.
All right.
And then we'll do the other three questions I need to come up with later.
Awesome. And also, we are broadcasting live on the Bullhorn app. I see there's some people in here listening, checking out the show. Welcome, and thanks for hanging out with us. If you have a question for Jack Asbury, myself, or Nick, or you just want to chat with us, go ahead and do what you got to do. You can even call in, man. Call in. We'll put you on the air. We'll chit-chat with you. And it'll be a fun time, interactive and fun.
You know what? I'm going to throw a challenge out there to anybody listening right now.
Oh.
Jump in on the fast five.
Okay.
Help me find three more questions. I came up with two. I need three more.
Or just, that's not a challenge. That is a challenge. Just any question for Jack Asbury, put it in the questions, man. We'll throw it up there and Jack will answer.
Maybe.
We'll see.
Depending on the question.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So we'll do this one. What's your favorite meal to cook for your kids?
My favorite, they actually love spaghetti. They love spaghetti. They ask for it all the time. If it's not that, then it's going to have to be tacos.
Oh, man, I'm coming over to the Asbury residence, man.
They love it.
My
fiance, Italian, she cooks. It's an all-day affair. So I will help cook that for them. They love it.
I want a spaghetti taco.
We can do it. We can make it happen. We'll figure it out.
Right, Nick?
I just want some food.
So I'm hungry. By the way, I ate all those cheesesteaks.
I'm proud of you.
I bought a box of eight cheesesteaks at Costco. They're amazing, Jack. This was 2 days ago. There's eight of them. I ate them all. Eight friggin' cheesesteaks in 2.5 days.
So, Joel Staley, if you're listening to this episode, JP, sorry.
Yeah, very sorry. I'm going to go back to fasting. Next Tuesday.
All right. Good talk. My kid sucks, by the way. All he eats is freaking dog food.
Whoa. What?
The puppy pals macaroni and cheese. It has to be like perfectly shaped. That's all the kid eats every meal. And I'm like, dude, try a taco.
I can't be healthy, bro.
Won't do it. Won't do it.
You won't do
we
it.
We got the little ones kind of like that. You know, there are some things like the dinosaur chicken nuggets. That kid loves those. He refuses to eat any other kind of chicken nugget. Has to be dinosaur.
So funny story, his first day of daycare yesterday, daycare provider sends us a picture and a video of him eating chicken nuggets, apple slices, and cheese. I'm like, what the hell? Who is this kid? What did you do?
Well, because he's in a different environment, man. And no joke, he's in a different environment, different people. They probably speak to him differently. He sees these other kids eating it. So, you know, he,
that's exactly what happened. Yeah. So I'm like, we definitely need to have more kids.
No, you just you just need to have more. Just change up what you do at home.
Or we just need some friends. Friends would be
cool. That's true.
There you go. And he's probably not. He's hasn't hit the age of reasoning yet. So you can't. You can still lie to him all you want. They no longer make Puppy Pals macaroni and cheese, Bubby. I am so sorry.
Sorry, man.
So try this instead.
No, he knows the word Walmart, and he knows where Walmart is. So he's like, "Let's go in the truck, Dad. Go to Walmart."
Well, okay.
Have you noticed, Jack, that Nick has an excuse for everything?
Hey, listen, man.
I'm a sucker for my kids, man.
And I'm not something.
You are totally
big time. Kid has every friggin' video game system there is to man in existence, and only plays one of them.
I like to throw myself under the bus every episode. He just sits there quiet, like. My kids don't do that. My kids are awesome.
They're angels.
Never said that. No, sir. Oh, no, 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 no. We should incorporate a new segment, Nick, and we should start it right now. Shit our kids have done that pisses us off yesterday.
Well, I can go back 5 minutes ago.
You know, but we bracket them by age group. Like, so... Yeah. What has our teenagers do to piss us off last week? And let's talk about it. And how do we fix it?
Yeah. Or like we might scare Jack, though. His kids haven't quite hit that.
Yeah, Jack, be careful. Those girls are going to be 17 one day.
I know.
Right. Oh, man.
Well, I'm already dreading it because we found out that she likes a boy. I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, at 11?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she says she has a crush on him.
That's where it starts.
I know. I'm not looking
forward
to
it. Next year, she's going to be like, hey, Dad, I want to go to the movies with this boy.
Yeah.
But it's going to be with a group. A group.
Yeah, Dad. Yeah, I'll be there. Yeah. It's all right. I'll go with you. That's no problem.
The first time. You know. At 12 years old, you're damn right you're going to be going with a group, and I'm in that group. Sorry. Right. You know what I mean? Exactly. Goodness. Yeah. All right, Nick, more questions? That was one.
Oh, man. Yeah. If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
Oh,
this is one I've been waiting to ask. This is the guest I've wanted to ask this since we found out he's going to be on.
All right.
I assume the billboard's going to be amazing.
Mine, probably not, to be honest with you, man. I'd probably put myself in the bat suit up there. That's what I would put up there, just so everybody could see it. That's all I would put up there. My own billboard? I've never thought of having a billboard.
So the reason we asked this is I went and bought a billboard the first week we started Dadcast and said the number one parenting podcast.
That's in awesome. The world. That's awesome.
With
that's
our a pictures.
Great idea.
Yeah.
On the busiest street in
Metro. Imagine my reaction when I said number one parenting podcast in the world.
Yeah.
It just be the United States. It had to be the world.
It had to be the world. It's absolutely right. Had to be the world.
So
I would probably, you know what, thinking about it, just to rattle feathers, I'd probably put Christian Bale, Batman sucks, just for people to hate me.
You're not going to put a, like, where is she?
Yeah. No, I get so much hate. There's a guy I'm friends with. He's actually a professional gamer. I'll go on his Facebook as the Batman, and I will talk so much trash to him about it. That's kind of the funny part is that's kind of how I found you guys, because you guys were recommended post, and you were looking for guests. So I'm like, I'll just put my name in there. Yo, what the worst I could say is no or not respond. And then someone responded like, yeah, we'd be great to have you. I'm like, oh, all right, cool. Yeah.
So I think what happened is you got recommended by you commented, and there was a bunch more comments on there, and I'm like, interesting.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, let's do it. And then I kind of checked out what you do, and I'm like, oh my God, this guy's amazing. So
yeah, I like to troll a little bit as the Batman as much as I can. Like, I'll go on Henry Cavill's post whenever he does it, and just convince. I will do everything to be like. There was one where he was saying that he was going for a jog and whatnot. And I said, really, Clark, you can't just fly. And there are so many people who think I'm being serious. And they're like, you know, he's an actor or.
Oh, Jesus.
One,
right.
Yeah. And there's one where he's talking. I'm like, oh, yeah, the British accent's really, confusing us, Clark. And they're like, oh, he's from London. I'm like, you guys, like, check the name. Look at the name that's saying this stuff.
So, the fact that anyone, I feel like you're trolling them, but they're trolling you back if they actually believe. I mean, so Mr. Person behind the keyboard who sees this comment and feels the urge to actually say something, you actually believe that this person believes that Superman is real. Is that what you're telling me? Because that right there, it's a, there's no need to comment.
I think it's the funniest thing. They and then I'll get messages from them. I'm like, did you see the page that you just messaged? It's supposed to be a joke. He plays Superman, right? Batman. Apparently not. I'm not a good Batman. Apparently, I try to find humor out of stuff. I'm not serious all the time.
What has been, and I'm sure there's plenty, but the most fulfilling moment for you when you've been in that suit doing what you do?
The coolest things are when I see kids multiple times and they remember me. I've seen a bunch of kids, and there are some that, you know, some days I don't remember, because it'll be 6 years since I started doing this. There'll be a kid from 6 years ago that'll come up that will see me at an event. And, you know, as soon as I see him, I see their mom, I'm like, oh, hey, it's you, remembers. And that is what is awesome. It's just them remembering, even though it's been years for them and they were littler back then, they still remember, they still recognize me. So that those are the coolest parts. Those are the fun ones.
Love it. All right, rank your Batman movies. One being best to the numbers going down, and I'm going to give them to you like this: original Batman from the 60s.
Oh, okay.
Michael Keaton's trilogy. Val Kilmer and George Clooney, we're just going to skip over those. We're not going to, those don't count. And then, of course, Christian Bale, and then Ben Affleck, and then now, most recently, The Twilight Vampire. Robert Pattinson, there it is.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I remember when they announced that.
I think he did all right. He did, you know.
He did very well. I'm kind of biased because my favorite comic was the Dark Knight Returns, when he's the older Batman, you know, that's when he fights Superman in the comic. It's from the 80s. So that's my favorite comic.
The Killing Joke. Is that in the same era?
I believe so.
And isn't that where Robin died? I have that comic, the original print.
That's where the Joker, and he shoots, Barbara. Yeah. So that was my favorite comic. And then when I saw Ben Affleck's and Zack Snyder's, it's pretty much that book. So that one, that's my top one. I think, you know, Ben Affleck did an amazing job as Batman. It sucks we don't get a standalone for him. But I will watch those ones all the time. I love those movies. So I like him. So really, for me, it's going to be Affleck, Keaton, Pattinson, and then Bale. Bale just completely killed it for me with the last two. You know, the last two movies to me weren't really about Batman. They were more about the villains. You know, you had the Joker, then you had Bane, and Batman wasn't really in it. And then, you know, I'll argue all the time, in The Dark Knight Rises, they said he's only been Batman for, you know, 5 years, and he's practically crippled, and his newer bat suit makes him look all skinny and scrawny. But then if you look at Ben Affleck's, he says, you know, we've been doing this for 20 years, and he's still out there, you know, pulling tires and fighting Superman. So I don't know. I've just never been really a big Bale fan after that.
Okay. Fair enough. We're going to agree to disagree on that one.
We can. Yeah, absolutely.
But then again, you know, you're not wrong when it comes to the actual portrayal of that character. Yes. But for me, I mean, Heath Ledger's Joker that made the movie, which in turn, it doesn't matter. That right there was one of my favorite Batmans ever portrayed ever, because I guess of Heath Ledger's portrayal of the Joker in that. But good stuff. Now, you didn't mention the 60s. You didn't mention our man.
Yeah.
The original.
Not a fan.
Boom, pow.
Not a fan. Not really a fan.
You're telling me if someone gifted you the original 1960s Batmobile, you wouldn't own that thing with pride?
The 66, I mean, I'll take it. I'm not going to tell you no. I mean, it's a generous gift. I'll take it. It's cool. I don't know. I'm not a fan. That's all
right. Justice League, Snyder Cut or the original?
Snyder Cut.
Damn right. Snyder. So good. Snyder Cut. Incredible. I was just actually watching.
I'm gonna go, dude. Keaton's my favorite Batman. Batman Return.
Yeah. That's our generation, though, Nick. I mean, yeah. Jack, what are you, in your 30s now?
Yeah, I'll be 34 in September. I was born in 88. So, you know.
He's born in 88. We were. Yeah. That's when the original, or the original, Keaton's original Batman came out in 89.
Yeah.
I was in high school, man. When that came out. So that's and you know, in Tim Burton that and was, the whole that just
PG-13 movie my parents let me watch. So nice.
I was slinging sodas at the Taco Bell across from the movie theater at the mall growing up. Nice. And a friend of mine worked at the theater, and when we got off, we went in and he played the movie. This was back when you could do these kind of things. And me and a group of my friends, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, the place is shut down, and he played the movie for us. We got to see it, like, you know, just us four, and we're all smoking cigarettes and drinking. That was how we saw the original Batman, the original Michael Keaton version of it. But yeah,
I'm so stoked to see Michael Keaton's new version of Batman.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen with that, because the guy who's playing the Flash is like,
he's going off
violent people. Yeah, he's like fighting people and whatnot. So who knows? I'm excited to see it. I fangirled so hard when I seen and was able to drive a replica 89. I mean, I have video of me just laughing like
that.
And of course, I brought my suit with the guy because I had a story go viral. And that's really how my page grew. I tell everybody who asks, I got lucky. That's really what it is. One story just exploded. You know, I'm that one that, you know, one story goes viral and then it just continues to grow. So I had a story go viral. He reached out. He's about 2 hours north of me. He's like, hey, I have these suits and the replica Batmobile. I'd love for you to come up, take pictures, drive it. I'm like, I will be there tomorrow, sir. So I get there and he's across the street from a teaching hospital. It's also a kids hospital. And he has everything. He had a Jurassic Park Jeep. He had a DeLorean. He had a Mystery Machine. And then he brought out the 89 Batmobile. And I lost it because the machine guns came up. It has a propane tank on the back. So fire was coming out. I lost my stuff. I'm like, I have to drive it. And he's like, yeah, go for it. And he's, you know, handing me the keys. I'm like, well, that's a mistake. So, but yeah, that was one of the cooler parts.
What frame did they build that thing on? Do you know what car was it originally?
I'd have to double check. I've researched this so many times. I forget. I know it was, I want to say a Lincoln, an older Lincoln.
Yeah. It's gotta be some long framed thing.
Yeah. So, I know a lot about the 89, like the headlights on the front are from like an 86 Honda. They just turned them upside down and put yellow headlights on them. The taillights in the back are from Ferraris that year because it would be too expensive for them to remake something to go for that. And then the guy who created loved the hatch that moves forward was a part of a certain kind of jet. Mm-hmm. And he just incorporated that. And then the whole thing was built out of styrofoam first. So it was completely, you know, built off of, you know, a scrap piece of paper. And then they just brought it to life. That will be my favorite Batmobile. I will one day, mock my words, I will one day have one of those. They're very expensive, but I will figure out how to get one.
It might be cheaper to build it.
You would think.
3D print that some bitch.
I can, you know, I can barely build a birdhouse. So I don't know if me attempting that would be a good idea.
Right, maybe you got to get off the video games and learn some hammer skills, Jack. Just, you know, probably, maybe.
Probably.
You mentioned probably. You are a gamer. What are you playing these days?
So I'm kind of like with the group. I'll play Call of Duty, Apex. Sometimes I will stream on my page dressed as Batman, playing Batman.
That's hilarious.
I kind of play it all, you know.
My kid, were you ever a Fortniter? Were you ever a Fortnite kid?
No.
Okay. I bring that up to gamers, and they cringe a little bit. I don't know. My 7 year old, when he was seven, he kicked some serious Fortnite ass. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I'm Call of Duty, I'm Destiny, I grew up on that, and you know, a first person shooter's all, you know, I'll do it. I'm good, but I'm watching him shoot, aim, build, run on Fortnite all at the same time, and I'm like, what is happening? How is my son, who's seven, better than what? And I never got good at it. In fact, I got to the point where controllers got broken. And once that happens, I know that's it.
They're done.
You know, that game is. I stopped playing Call of Duty for like 4 years because of that reason. I'm a grown ass man breaking shit, and that shouldn't be, you know what I mean? I shouldn't be getting so upset over a game, but
playing Ninja Turtles and Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. That's my jam.
Hey man, those are the original Tony Hawk Pro Skater. That is my jam. Yeah. On my PlayStation. Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to reel us in here. We're getting real close to the end of our time here, Jack. I'm going to ask a couple more dad questions for you.
Sure.
And these are important ones. I love to ask these. If you did your research, you know what's coming. What's a little bit of advice that you would impart on a new dad, someone who's expecting to be a dad, who's never been a dad before, that can help ease that path, that transition into becoming a dad, from the mouth of you?
My biggest thing is patience. That is what you're going to need. Patience, a lot of patience, because it's going to be frustrating. The nights are going to be long. The mornings are going to be super early, and you're just going to be fed up. And especially with your partner, it's going to test you at some points. So having patience is my biggest thing. And then also, it's funny because I heard this and it just stuck with me. When you have kids, to me, my story's over. It's not about me anymore. It's about them, helping them grow, teaching them what you know, and pointing them in the right direction. You know, the main stage is now on them, and we're kind of just, you know, as that backup crew for them, you know, help with lighting, help with sound, but it's your show now.
That is an absolute brilliant analogy, man. Yeah. We've done so many interviews, and that's a first there. That I friggin' love it.
Yeah.
That's going to be our clip. Okay. Now, what is something you wish you had known that you didn't know that you do know now? Am I getting confusing enough for you? What's something you wish you had known going into being a dad that someone would have told you?
Projectile vomiting is really gross.
Yes, it is.
They'll always joke about it.
It's been my life.
Especially when you got your mouth open.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had that note. I think figuring loving someone else other than your like family, like your mom, your dad, loving somebody else unconditionally more than that can be scary. And it makes you look at the world completely different. You know, when you have kids, then you have to protect them. And then you're so panicked about everything else that you're so in love with this small child that it's scary. It's crazy to think as far that you would go for that child. So I think that's one of the scarier parts about it.
I don't think it's scary how far I'd go for a child. I think you and I would both agree, Nick, Jack, I will kill.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You know, and don't like take this to court one day, people. but you know, it's a figure of speech, but it really isn't. You know, if I'm put in that situation, whatever it might be, mm-hmm. where it's my child's life or that other person.
Oh, yeah. I the wrong day, yeah, bud.
Yes, sir. Damn right. There it is. Yeah. Okay. Whew. Got a little deep there. A little bit heavy. A little incriminating. I apologize. A little bit. Oh, man. All right. So we did that. Man, we talked video games. Okay. I'm gonna go through a slew quick. Since he didn't do a fast five and no one asked a question, shame on you people, you know, shame. I'm for shame. I see you. I see you listening and watching, but they don't want to get engaged. They're probably hanging out, smoking a joint. Who knows? But all right. So I'm going to ask the questions. And for a guy like you, I think these simple ones might actually be kind of difficult, Jack, because I think you and I, if we were hanging out, we'd be pretty good friends with a lot of the same interests. So I know the questions I'm going to ask might be difficult. Here we go. Favorite movie of all time? You can only pick one.
Oh, good Lord. 300.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I love that movie.
God, every time I see 300, I want to kick someone. I just...
I absolutely love that movie.
Every time I watch that
movie, this is Sparta. You know,
okay. Butler, what kind of juice did you take?
Oh, who knows?
Give me the serum. Let me know.
All right.
Right.
Favorite video game all time?
Twisted Metal.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. Aisle seat or window?
I'm a window guy. Gotta give me the window.
Okay.
Only on a plane, though. Only on a plane.
What kind of car do you drive?
Right now, I have a 2012 Chevy Equinox.
What kind of car do you want to drive?
Oh, if I had to pick, I really like the Ford Raptors. Those trucks look awesome.
He's a truck guy. All right. Yeah. You can own any one muscle car from the 60s or 70s. What's it going to be?
1966. God, it's my mom's favorite car, and I would give it to her. A 1966 Mustang.
Okay. Right. Now you're speaking my language. Speaking of which, I bought a Mustang. I had a Tesla. I sold it.
You had? Oh, okay.
I sold it. I'm still kicking myself straight and square in the ass for it.
Two Mustangs, right?
Yes. How did you know that? Yeah. Have you been doing? You've been digging.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I actually sold. I had at one point my Tesla and two Fox Body Mustangs. Mm-hmm. I actually sold the Tesla and got a considerable profit. And the idea was to save money every single month, you know, bring down the expenditures. And not have a car payment anymore and buy some piece of shit that gets really good gas mileage. But then I found a Mustang that I really liked. And, well, there went that plan. But, you know, the payments are still considerably less than what I was paying on the Tesla. But now I got to pay for gas again. So, here and there. I ordered that son of a bitch on the 21st of April. Okay. It is now May 3rd right now when this show is being aired. So it's been 2 weeks. I ordered it from an online place. And they said it should be here by the 5th. So two more days and it's beautiful. It's fast. It's a 5-speed, but the other Mustang, the Fox bodies are 90s. I kind of sold it last week. One of them, I traded it for, and it's right over there, a 2004 Jeep Grand Cherokee in like perfect shape and $5,000 cash. So I think I did all right in that one, and I still got my other beautiful Fox Mustang over there, which I probably am going to sell, but at the same time, who knows? But, yeah, I've got a car problem.
Why did you get rid of the Tesla?
Like I said, I was looking for ways to save money every single month. Not that I needed to, but I don't know. I spent so much money at Disneyland that I came back with a different perspective on life. And said, you know, I gotta, you know, what can I do to save some money? And as I told Nick, I'm a very goal oriented type of guy. And for so long, and it sounds so materialistic, but my main goal in life for like 2 years was to get a Tesla. My kids are healthy.
I would love one.
They're supported. Everything is fine. Papa wants a damn Tesla. And I achieved said goal. Drove around for a year. And now it's like, I don't have any goals. Let's establish a new goal. So I sold it, and the new goal is to pay cash for two Teslas now, one for the lady and one for me in the future that we're going to park in the house, the garage of my new house.
I got you.
So
trying to get a Cybertruck?
Yeah, I would love a Cybertruck. Yes, that absolutely.
What's going on with Russia? If they do attack the power grid, you wouldn't be able to drive your Tesla.
Valid point.
Right.
Very valid point.
But, you know, if what we're talking about in that perspective of Russia, if anything goes the way it may go, and they're saying, I don't think electricity is going to be our biggest problem, my friend. I think it's going to be, I don't know, can we go outdoors for the next 4 years? You know, I'm going to dumb it down for you. Nuclear fallout. I've played enough of the Fallout games too. I think, Jack, I think we can.
I know what's happening.
Right? We can get through this. We just got to dig a big enough hole. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry, Nick, go ahead.
I think it's coming. I think just
I gotta stop
watching the news every day. But
yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Because I don't watch the news anymore. I watched it right at the beginning. And then when something crazy in the world goes on, I'll literally channel surf through Fox, CNN, and then I'll go to BBC. and just getting all these crazy perspectives. And I'll laugh at all of them because they're all contradicting each other. And that validates the fact that, okay, good, this is probably not real. And or at least there's sprinkles of truth all mixed in. There's a bunch of crap they're feeding us. And then, you know, I'll watch some Family Feud and play with my kids and everything's great. And I, then I go outside and look up and the sky's still blue and there's no nuclear fallout yet. I think we're okay.
For now. Good for now. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live on the Bullhorn app. He is Jack Asbury, the Batman of Spring Hill, who rose to viral fame not too terribly long ago, who does amazingly good things for the kids in the community. Thank you for coming on Dadcast, man. It's been an awesome, awesome time. An hour just went right by because of Star Wars and comic books and movies and dadisms and whatnot. It's been real fun having you on, man. And I would love to extend to you the opportunity, which I like to think of it as, to come back on Dadcast very soon when we record our Father's Day episode. Now, we're not going to do it on Father's Day, mind you. It's going to be recorded a couple weeks prior. And that's coming up, Nick, right?
Yep.
Have you confirmed any of our past guests yet?
No, I've sent emails and nobody's confirmed yet.
Okay, so this is not something you want to say live. So that he never said that, you guys. That did not happen. We got we're adamant. So yeah, we're gonna have like.
I did not send a date.
Here you go. We have like 40 boxes, and you know Randy Couture might be on, Jordan Farmar, and all these crazy awesome celebrity guests. And dude, you got to come in as the Batman though.
I will, if you have me, I will.
We'll have you either which way, Jack, but that would be so much fun.
Before Father's Day open, that's the day we're doing it. We're working on the time. I'm not sure yet exactly what time, but probably noonish Pacific time.
Depending, you know, of course we don't, I know the schedule. Do you work 12 hours?
24s,
two a week and that's it.
Yeah. So one on, two off.
Right.
10 days a month. That's why I like to put it. 10 days a month. That's all I work.
There you go. So the odds are in our favor of it fitting in the schedule.
Oh, yeah.
We hope. Yeah. All right. So we'll look forward to that. Again, he is Jack Asbury, the Batman of Spring Hill. Thank you so much for coming on and hanging out with us on Dadcast, man. To everyone watching live on the Bullhorn app, thanks for hanging out with us. To everyone watching this on the YouTube or the audio version of Dadcast, thank you as well. We appreciate you so much. Go ahead and give it a like, subscribe, comment, do all that good stuff. If you really hated it, that's fine. You know, you're entitled to your opinion. Go ahead and hit that dislike button. We don't care. We'd prefer you did it that way. And everyone else, man, we'll check you out on the very next episode. Have a great rest of your day. See ya.